Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Hello, Liz.
Hello, Sarah. pardon my... But that is a fun podcast for men. Just kidding. This is an inclusive podcast and anyone can listen to that one, but I find that generally men like it more. I find it funny sometimes.
I've never heard listened to it actually.
Oh, it's like funny. The Barstool one and all the whatever.
Yeah.
So we actually recorded this interview a little while ago, hence the difference in my voice today. I've been sick. I don't have COVID. I know no one cares how I feel. They just care that whether I have COVID or
right,
not.
Right, right. it's so funny that we canceled colds.
Not only did we cancel colds, but we canceled sympathy. Like, right. Like in so many ways, like people get sick now and it's like, whoop. Like, you know, if someone's sick, we don't care how they feel.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure we want to say we're making sure they were responsible, but really yeah. We just like want to shame people.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? Sorry, were you going to?
No, I wasn't.
It reminds me of when you think someone's sitting on the remote and suddenly you lose all, you don't believe, you don't trust them anymore. You don't care who they are, what they are. You're like, get up.
That was
get up.
An unbelievable analogy. Did you just like pull that out of your
butt,
for lack of a better?
Yeah. Wow. I just, you know, like you think someone's sitting on the remote and it doesn't matter if they're like, I'm not, or like, I don't feel it. It doesn't matter if they're your like 101-year-old grandma. You're like, get up.
Right.
Get up.
Right. It doesn't matter if they like have butt blisters or
no,
something.
No, no. Just get up.
So, you know, with all that, we have an amazing guest on the show today.
Mm-hmm. Today we have Elena Quiles on the podcast. Yeah, she's my friend from high school and just an amazing girl. She is a therapist now. She just graduated from Fordham where she studied to become a therapist. And she really tells us a lot about how she came to study this. And it wasn't just an interest. It was really from personal experience, which I find so admirable.
Definitely.
You know, like when someone can go into a field because they personally know how something feels. And obviously she now works with those struggling with substance abuse. Mm-hmm. And obviously she may not relate to them exactly. And she speaks on that as well, but just super interesting to hear her path. And on top of that, she has her own small business with her fiance.
Yes.
So lots of amazing updates.
She was an amazing guest, a lovely gal, and I highly, highly recommend, we talk about it a little bit more, but that everyone checks out August Onset, which is their candle company. They mm-hmm. make great smelling candles that are not too fragrant, and I mean that in a very positive way. Like, they're fragrant. They're perfectly fragrant.
Yeah, they smell amazing.
They smell amazing and peaceful and, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to, like, vom no. from how strong they are.
Totally. So speaking of therapists, another friendly reminder about our sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online counseling service who you can schedule video appointments with. You can also communicate with your counselor 24/7 through their secure messaging app. BetterHelp has sponsored us for a long time. Sarah and I always talk about therapy, but we know over the past couple of months, I've heard a lot of stories about people struggling to find therapists in their area or struggling mm-hmm. to connect with people. And not only does BetterHelp connect you with a counselor, but it also allows you to find the perfect counselor, which mm-hmm. I think is a benefit that a lot of people are seeking right now. So if you go to betterhelp.com/itsfine, that's betterhelp.com/itsfine, you get 10% off your first month of service. Let's do Peek and Pit and then we'll get right into
the
episode.
Oh my gosh, duh. I was like, what else is there?
Yeah.
Sure. I guess my pit, I had one. I'm really not remembering it right now. So I guess I'll just say something else. My pit was that Liz wasn't feeling well this week.
Aww.
And I just didn't get to see you as much as I usually do, you
and
know.
Don't lie, you were worried about yourself with the COVIDs, the big C.
I honestly, the thing is that I only really see you. So like,
right.
Even if I had to cancel, it's like, it's not like I was like going to a ball and right. I had to then
That's
like
so
miss
true.
The ball.
So
I,
true.
It's like Monday, I do The Bachelor with you. Wednesday, I do tour classes with you. Friday, I do Shabbat with you. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, sure. I was a little nervous. I'm like, oh, do I have COVID? But even when I thought, oh, do I have COVID? I'm like, well, I'm just going to stay home. And the person who I usually hang out with is also home, not feeling well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt fine. Thank God.
Yeah. Thank God. It was just a cold.
Yeah. No,
and even if it was COVID, that would have been okay. It would have been okay.
No, for sure. For sure. I mean, like, selfishly, I was a little bit nervous. I'm like, I hope I don't have COVID.
Don't blame you.
But I also just, like, you know, I was kind of alone the whole week.
Totally.
So that wasn't the best, but Clubhouse kept me company.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was fine. This is fine. And my peak. Oh my gosh. I don't remember what my pit was supposed to be. And like, that will bother me for the end of time. But my peak is that Liz let me use her Peloton this week.
Ooh.
And I mean, she's always been like, come use the Peloton. But I've been a little lazy because, you know, when you don't know how great something is, you're not like that motivated to use it.
Totally.
But now, there's no going back. I will be over every Monday, every Wednesday, every Saturday. Like, if that's okay with you. But
definitely
like,
fine.
I am obsessed. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, eventually, if I really like keep up with it and I'm like really using it a lot and I love it, like at some point, I'm probably just going to get one for myself.
Totally. And I have to say, this is not sponsored. Like, I wish they were sponsoring me and us, but... like I did it in monthly, like just for full transparency, I did it in monthly payments. And a lot of people are like, oh, like it is an expensive machine. That is not like contested. But when you split it up into monthly payments, like depending on the years, it's literally half the price, if that, of like a New York City gym membership. So
right.
It completely made sense to me. And like, I'm so, so happy that I bought it. Chris also said like, he was never going to use it. Like he doesn't spin. He uses it every day he's here. So glad I think it's such a wonderful, enjoyable way to like work out, which is important.
Totally.
So I'm glad that that was your pit and your peak. Well, your secondary pit.
I know they're both
revolved
about
around
you.
Me, which, you know what, is
you're happy about it, but I'm like, should I have been more original? I don't know.
No, I think, you know, I'm original. So
right.
Wait,
last thing I want to say about the Peloton. First of all, just thank you. Like I've made it really clear on my Insta stories and everything that Liz has really like gone out of her way to make sure I feel good about it. And that I like come and use it and whatever. But also like, just if you're ever worried about working out, like find yourself a workout that really you enjoy.
Yeah.
Because it's so fun and it's challenging, but I'm dancing, I'm singing.
Totally.
I'm like, I can't wait to see Cody's face. Like I can't wait to listen to his music. Like it's just, it's enjoyable. It's fun.
I 100% agree. That is a peak for me in general.
Yeah. Okay, go.
Pit was that I was sick. I don't have to elaborate more on that. It was a cold. I wasn't really scared it was COVID because I know what a cold feels like, but it wasn't fun to be sick. My peak, I have two. They're both small, but well, small is relative. One peak was I read and finished the Jessica Simpson book, which I highly recommend. I've heard about it for a year and I just never got around to reading it. I haven't been reading much because I have a lot of other things to do, but I've just been reading a little bit every night. It was so great, so eye-opening, like just she's wonderful. I went in it with so few expectations. I never like really followed her except for like the Chicken of the Sea whatever debacle, and it was just a wonderful book. She like is very spiritual, etc. My second peak was
awesome.
Clubhouse. Sarah and I've been running my own clubhouses. Mm. Sarah and I have been running them, and I was initially extremely overwhelmed by the app. I just always am when it's a new app. But Sarah and I ran two rooms so far with the It's Fine, I'm Fine listeners, community, our followers, which, by the way, look out for those. We're trying to do them once a week at varying times so people can join at different times. And it was absolutely wonderful both times. Especially, I mean, both of them were wonderful, but the second time we had so many people join.
I know, it was amazing.
So many people just chatting in the best way. Like, we didn't have to worry about silences, but we also didn't have to worry about people interrupting because everyone was so respectful. It was just wonderful. It's exactly what Sarah said. Like, it's exactly what we've been looking for, to have like a more community-oriented group related to this podcast that we haven't known how to do, and it fell into our laps. So,
yeah.
Grateful for that.
And someone even used the term group therapy at the end.
Yes, which was what a compliment. Yeah. We are not, again, can't say it enough. We're not experts, but we are happy to provide a safe space for people to talk.
100%.
And speaking of therapists, with that,
here's Elena.
Here's Elena.
Well, first of all, how are you? Because just for some context, Elena and I went to high school together and we haven't like chatted in a long time.
I feel really guilty about saying this because, you know, 2020, 2021, it's been really rough for a lot of people. I'm doing phenomenally. Like I really feel badly saying that, but it has been a really great year for me, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. There's a lot going on in all aspects of life.
Yeah, we know, and we want to hear. Like, I know that you. I don't know if you're comfortable talking about like your new job, but also August onset. Like, we want to hear kind of what you do. Who are you? What do you do?
And also, like, there's a ring on your finger.
Oh, that too.
You're honestly, you're glowing. Like, you're glowing.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah. So basically, when I was younger, my grandmother was a social worker. And I grew up, she worked in a psychiatric unit in New York, I'm pretty sure. And I grew up hearing these insane stories about people and what went down in the psych unit. And my sister and my mom would just be so grossed out and so freaked out by the stories. But I've always been so interested in all aspects of mental health. I'm just obsessed with it as a young girl. So Sarah and I went to high school together, and in high school, I literally was like, what the hell am I doing here? I hate every single class here. Math, science, I don't get what's going on here. I love to talk, and there's no classes where we can do that. So then I went to college and still had no idea what I was doing. I honestly wanted to major in broadcasting. I wanted to go to Syracuse.
Really?
I swear to God, I wanted to go to Syracuse. I wanted to get into Newhouse. My grades said otherwise, but
I didn't get into Newhouse from high school either. I had to transfer in once I got there. Yeah. So don't worry.
Insane. My fiance actually ended up going to Syracuse. So I like lived through him and you, Sarah. But I went to college and I quickly realized that after my first psychology class, I was like, this is really freaking cool. So then I transferred to another college my sophomore year, did more psych, and then got out into the real world, worked in Manhattan for 2 years, fell into like, I had a major life crisis because I went into sales and marketing because you can't really do the most with a BA in psychology. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I'm sitting behind this desk. I worked for a telecommunications company. I was like, I can't sell shit to anyone. Like, the second I would call someone to sell something, I'd be like, oh, they don't want it. Like, I can't. And I'm just I'm bothering this person.
I'm annoying them.
Yeah. I would do the same thing. I'd be like, I'm so sorry.
You're literally like, I'm so sorry. Are you busy? You don't want it? Okay, they don't want it. Horrible. You know, so okay. Then I was like, my mom has always pushed grad school on me. She tried to drop out when she was pregnant with me, but I come from a lot of people who went and got their master's. It's always been like a thing that's been on my mind. So I went online. I got into Fordham online. I was so excited. And then from there, it was a long ass 3-year journey. I had my poor fiance had to deal with me having jobs on and off. I was a nanny. I was a full-time nanny while interning. I think I interned for a total of like 1200 hours over the past 3 years. My first internship, I worked at a men's halfway house in Newark. So I would literally nanny these girls. I love them so much. These girls in Hoboken. And then I would drive to Newark and go and work in a men's halfway house. Insane. Wow. And then, towards the end of that internship, COVID hit. So then my internship was mostly remote, which is amazing because I got telehealth experience, which is like, you guys know, it's like everything right there.
Totally.
In the field. So I got to do remote telehealth with adolescents, doing a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy and DBT, working with kids who have severe anxiety, depression, a lot of suicidal ideation. That was amazing. And then right after that, I got a job. And now I'm working in a intensive outpatient program in North Jersey with adults who are in recovery from substance use, and it ranges from alcohol to benzos, opiates, all that stuff. So I've literally been there for a month. It's going to be a month this upcoming week, and I love it. I love it so much. Like, I'm happy every day of my life. I remember days where I would just like cry because I hated my life, working jobs that I like was just so sad doing. And now I'm just like, this is what it was worth it. 3 years of hell was worth it, pretty much.
Wow.
That's amazing. We have a friend who we talk about all the time who worked in, she got her master's in social work and then worked at it was like a for-profit like facility for people with, you know, really extreme mental health issues. And she hated it so much. So it's really nice to hear just like your different experience, because it's, you know, it's sad when you hear about people who work in the mental health industry or like field and they hate it, because it's like, well, we need people who are passionate about it. So right. I am curious, like, what do you love about it?
For sure. I mean, as for your friend, you know, you need to find your niche. Like I would definitely say that when I was working in the men's halfway house, it is difficult to go from, I literally was with two precious angel little girls talking about like what's on Nick Jr. to hearing about a really traumatizing story back to picking them up at school talking about Nick Jr. So it can be, and then I have to go home to my fiance as if, you know, so it can be difficult if you're not working with the population that you're supposed to be with. And that's what grad school's for. So you can try different populations. I realized relatively quickly that maybe because I'm relatively new in the field, let me start with a lower level of population, like not a high level where there's people who are either detoxing or in residential care. So right now, that the fact that I'm working with people who have really common problems, that, you know, substance abuse is a huge, huge deal. You guys know it's skyrocketed because of the pandemic. So I feel very lucky to be involved in this field and entering the field at this time. I think that I love what I do so much because it comes so freaking naturally to me. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, my whole life, I grew up kind of struggling academically and feeling really, really badly about myself because I would literally study for tests for like hours and just like fail. And I felt very badly about being able to achieve something. So the second that I started my first internship and I was like, okay, this client, this went well with this client, and then more and more and more. I don't know. I think it's a calling. Like, I think being a teacher is a calling. I think being a doctor is a calling. I think that having the ability to sit with someone for a moment and literally make them feel like they're the only person in the world, make them feel extremely heard, understood. Like, when I talk to someone, I want for them to feel like they're getting like a hug verbally, literally. Mm-hmm. It's a calling. It's a calling. And I love it. And I'm honored to do it. Like, I'm so honored to even be in this field.
Oh, well, the field is lucky to have you, for real. Yeah. So how, when you first started your internship, was this also a calling, or how were you able to kind of hold space for others while also just like separating your own emotions, what you're going through, like, especially during the pandemic, how do you hold space for other people while also going through something yourself?
Yeah, that's something that I really, really struggled with. My social life took a massive hit, massive. Sarah knows from high school, I'm a very, very social person. I've always been a social person. And I think that this was the first time in my life that I took time for myself ever, like literally ever in my life, where I wasn't going to every party, going out. So my friends kind of had to adjust to that. Like, I was not able to go out all the time. I couldn't afford it. I didn't have time to do it. And so that's something that I personally had to work on. I had to work on that a lot with my my supervisor, because in school we have to work in supervision where we kind of bounce our problems off onto another more senior therapist. It was really difficult. I wish I could sit here and say like I balanced everything perfectly. I didn't. And now that school's over, I'm just starting to integrate myself back into my friend's life and be the kind of friend that I want to be. Mm-hmm. It was really hard for me. Like, I really was not the best friend, the best fiance, the best daughter that I could be during this time, not only because of pandemic fatigue and grad school and everything going on, just because like I didn't have time. So that was another price I had to pay. And thank God that I have friends and family who were accepting of the situation. But it was difficult. It was really difficult. And I would say that for most people in grad school, having space for other people is challenging because it's so demanding.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, especially when you're working in, like, I think the dichotomy that you described was really jarring because it's like, it's just a lot to juggle. But I want to hear, speaking of your fiance, and we can talk more about it later, or we can leave right into it now, but I want to know more about August Onset and like how you made the company, what, you know, how you're doing now. And I just like want to hear all about it.
And also, like, where did you meet your fiance? That like, too. How do I meet someone?
How do we meet them? Right.
Well you are taken. I am single.
How does one?
How does one meet someone?
So I was literally single my whole life. So like, I'm not one of these girls who's coming on here being like, oh, you know, you'll find the one. Like, no, dating's really freaking hard. And like, I was single forever. Like, I was in high school and I would date around. In college, I would date around. But I never really, I don't know. Like, I guess I can say every guy that I dated, they were either like, fuck boys. Can I curse on this podcast?
Yeah, yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, they were either fuck boys and just like they couldn't handle me or like my life. I don't know, or I was just like, this person, just we just don't click at all. So I was very. It's so funny. I have like my mom just gave me a letter actually this past month of like, so I like never had a Valentine, so my mom would be my Valentine. And she like gave me a letter that she wrote me in 2012. And the letter said, Elena, you know, happy Valentine's Day, like love mom. I just want to let you know that one day your person's out there. And it was just really cute because she gave it to me and she's like, you found your person. But I know what it feels like to kind of just be floating and everyone else around you is dating. Like it's a really, it's difficult. A lot of my clients are going through the same thing. It's really hard. But with Sean, my fiance's name is Sean. I've known him my whole life. So basically, So basically my parents and his parents were kind of in the same social scene growing up. So I don't really remember him. The child here remembers me. But
of course.
You know, like family parties, like there's other kids your age, like there. Yeah. Like he was one of the other kids my age. And then my parents divorced and we lost his family in the divorce. Meaning like when your parents get divorced, sometimes like certain people don't want to like, you know, people don't want to choose sides and relationships fall off. So we lost his family in the divorce. My whole life happened. And then in 2016, when we graduated undergrad, I get this DM from this guy, Sean. Hey, congratulations on graduating. I just want to let you know. Hey. And I was like, who the hell, like, who is this boy? So at that time, I was dating two other people. It wasn't going well. It just wasn't going well. The guys were just like lame. And I told my mom, I was like, mom, this guy, Sean, I don't know if you remember him. Like, he wants to go on this date. She's like, hey, you need to go. You need to go. He's a nice boy. And I was like, but nice boys aren't my type. Like, I don't know. I was 21. I was like, I don't want nice boy. So I went on this date with him after he asked me a couple more times. And then we just didn't stop dating. It was a very scary feeling because he was my first serious boyfriend ever. Like I was not used to having this love in my life. But we never stopped dating. And he proposed in February on my birthday last year. And what happened was prior to the proposal, I had said to him, because he kept talking about wanting to buy a house, like all, for like a year leading up to when our lease was up this March of last year. And I'm like, listen, I'm not buying a house with you if we're not a unit. Like that kind of freaked me out. Yeah. There was no concrete. It's a divorce girl mindset. There's no solid thing going on here. We can't do this. And I told him that. So he proposed right before the lease was up. But the thing was, if we want to have this wedding, if we want to have this house, do all this stuff, we can't live together. We have to move back home. So I'm in the middle of grad school. I'm literally like, oh my gosh, my fiance and I were moving back home separately. So we've lived separately for our entire engagement.
Wow.
He's lived with his parents who live half an hour away. I live with my dad. And that was really difficult for us, but we knew that we had to save money. I wasn't working. I was in school. Yeah. So we're back home. We see each other every other weekend. And what he suggested, I think it was in like May of last year, he was like, you know, let's just do something fun. Like it's COVID. We can't really go outside and like go out or whatever. Let's do something fun. I love candles. I'm a candle freak. Before August onset, I literally burn like 2 candles a week, big ones. I love them. He's like, would you want to make some candles? And I was like, what do you mean? Would I want to make a candle? Like, what does that even mean? Yeah. You know? And he's like, let's do this fun project. So, we went to my dad's basement. All of August onset is in my father's basement. Oh. And we made like 10 candles. And my dad came downstairs and he was like, this is kind of cool. And this actually smells nice. And I was like, why don't we just try and like, I don't know, sell these candles. So we sold them to a couple people in our neighborhood. We wrote into a couple of podcasts and then the ball started to get rolling. It was insane. And I think that the story, especially behind the name, August being the month that we started dating, August is eight is my lucky number. So then August is 8 on the calendar. We're getting married in August. For me, every August of my entire life, it's something new has happened, whether it's like the beginning of a school year or like just like something crazy has happened. Camp's over. Crazy stuff happens in August. So, you guys know. Yeah. So it's just like August has always been a really significant month in my life, in his life as well. And now the company's, it's doing really, really well. Now that we're working full time, we're trying to navigate how to handle orders. We have a bunch of fun things coming up with other sponsors. So it's a huge blessing in disguise. Like, I would never in my life think that this would ever happen. It's afforded us to, like, buy a house, which we just did this past week.
Wow. Mazel tov. Congratulations.
Guys. So it's like, it's been insane. Like, I would never, who would have thought that making these candles in the bakery, I don't know. So yeah. I'm really proud of it. It's my baby. I mean, we're both really excited to see where it's going to go.
That's unbelievable. So wait, what I need to rewind on is he just came home and said, let's make candles.
Guys, I swear to you, I think I saw the text. He was like, would you want to just do like as a project? Because we couldn't do anything.
Right.
We literally, we can't go out. We weren't in the city. Our parents kind of live in like rural areas. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't. He was like, do you want to just like do a fun arts and crafts? His story is different. He'll tell you that I brought it up. I swear. never in my life. I like to watch Bravo and sit down with my dogs. Like, I don't like to do arts and crafts. Mm-hmm. So I would never bring this up on my own. I swear it, he did. He is the true person behind it. I'm going to give him credit for that.
That's nice of you. But
that is nice.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. I really like, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that you finished school, started a job, holding space emotionally for other people and yourself, and you have this booming business. Like, I just can't, I think a lot of people have even struggled to do one thing at a time in this pandemic or in life. So how was it starting a business? I mean, I'm sure you had to like learn a lot of new things about marketing, about starting a company. Like, what was
making
that
candles.
Like making candles? Like, when do you have time for it? All the things like, and yeah.
Yeah. So I think that we started small. We did research. Like, you can go online and look up different ways, different products. And I think that we really wanted to make sure that we were giving people something that we would want to use. And like, I'm really big into organic things and things that are going to be healthy for me and the environment that I'm in. You know, I'm very into like safe spaces. Obviously I'm a therapist. So we researched how to make organic candles. We researched the kinds of products, and it's all out there. Like, if you ever want to make something, it's out there. Someone's kind of already done it. It's just about how are you going to market it at this point? In terms of when we find the time, another thing that took a really big hit, you know, we have these 2 days with ourselves on the weekends. We would just go into the basement for 72 hours and make candles. So our relationship, my entire engagement has been work and candles. You know, that's how we would spend our time. So we as a couple had this goal, and the goal was to buy a house. And I think that we were willing to sacrifice having this cutesy engagement where I don't know what else we would have done. I don't know, probably not work our asses off every weekend, mm-hmm. but we sacrificed that for this dream that we just accomplished. So it's hard, you know, like it to the outside world, it's like, holy shit, she did this, but it's like a lot of stuff took a hit. Like, our relationship struggled. We had to have people tell us, like, you still have to find time for each other. Mm-hmm. You know, like there were moments where it was like, I felt like this is my business partner, not my future husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have to work on that with each other. It's really difficult to, you know, fit romance in when you have to do contracts and marketing and all this stuff. But in terms of like marketing, Sarah, what you just asked, I think that we just divided duties. Like, Sean does all finance, all numbers, all orders, all shipments. For me, I was like, which platforms do I think would be interested in something like this? And I swear I wrote to people. I would write these long letters, and I would send pictures of myself and Sean. I would be like, we're this cute couple, please give us a chance. And once one person gave us a chance, the ball just got rolling. Mm-hmm. Once one opportunity happens and that door opens, it's kind of like, that's all you really need. Mm-hmm. So that's how that went.
I think my favorite part about this story is you talking about how you like really struggled in school. I mean, that's not fun, but my point is like, you really, that was not your thing. And then you found your thing, and like, you're so enjoying doing it and you're very successful at it, which I think is such a good story for people to hear, especially because like with COVID, I think a lot of people are realizing that people all learn differently. Like, when you put kids in front of computers, like, especially there's going to be so many disparities in the way that people learn. So I think that you are such a good example of like what entrepreneurship, because, you know, people just learn differently, and you found something that works for you, and you're also helping people, which is so important. I think the fact that you also struck that balance is great. Like, you know, it's one thing to be able to help people and that be your job, but it can be a little bit exhausting, and it's also nice to have like a passion project and it happened to be really successful. So that's not a question, but I just wanted to say, like, very inspiring story.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I think that, and I appreciate that, Sarah. I mean, Liz, it's really nice.
I agree with her.
Thank you, guys. I think that, you know, when it comes to like the whole schooling situation that you just brought up, which is a whole other topic, I had undiagnosed ADD my entire life. So Sarah can attest to this. We grew up in a environment that I found out after leaving our environment was not normal, but kids, we grew up with kids that went, ton of them went to Ivy League schools, yeah. Like not going to college was not enough.
I think I've told you about this.
Yeah, we went to similar schools.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really academically demanding and intense. So mm-hmm. for a student that had a learning disability, an undiagnosed learning disability, my confidence took a huge hit, mm-hmm. like a massive hit from like literally, I don't know, third grade to when I was diagnosed in college. And I really empathize with students that are struggling, especially kids that are struggling right now during the pandemic. They're having to learn over the computer. So, you know, I think that that also helped me become this empathetic counselor that I am now, because I went through that. Like, I know what that feels like to be around people and everyone's succeeding at something. And even if you're trying your hardest, like you can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No.
I get that. Do you mind if I ask one
No,
question?
Go.
Okay. I am curious about that. We don't usually talk much about learning disabilities on the podcast, but yeah. I do think it's adjacent to you and your story. So I want to know, you mentioned getting diagnosed with ADD in college. Like, how did that process happen?
Yeah. So basically, I guess, so Elena's going through life. She's constantly getting C's all the time. She can't stop getting C's. And I get to college. She's still getting C's. And my mom looks at me. She's like, I can't do this. She at that time was, I don't want to say a single mom, but my living situation with her was just she and I, and she was paying for my college, and she's like, I can't do this. Like, you're getting these C's. So I went to my best friend, actually had gotten diagnosed around the same time as me. And she was like, it's so crazy. I would have never thought this happened. You should go talk to someone. I went to talk to someone, and that person did a learning needs assessment on me. And I will never forget, the doctor literally said to me, I don't know how you've gotten this far.
Wow.
I don't know how you've gotten this far. It was really bad. It was really, really bad. And it took my best friend kind of giving me that push. And it took me realizing something's not right. I'm sitting here, I'm studying like everyone else. I know that I'm not dumb, because I have interest in other things. Like, kids with ADD they can learn. They just don't want to learn what it doesn't interest them, mm-hmm. right? So I just needed that little push to be able to focus in areas that were not of my interest at all. But yeah, that's pretty much how it happened. I just woke up and I was like, something's off. Something's off. Everyone's doing this and I can't. And I was right.
Yeah.
That is really so interesting. And not to make this about me at all, but it's like really making me think back to our high school, because I don't think I really have processed what yeah. our learning environment did to me. Like, you're really like making me think back, because I really struggle with ever thinking that I'm smart because of the way that our high school was, and the way that, like, if you were average, you were dumb. There was no, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you were doing okay, you're already like 20 steps behind. And I like haven't even, I kind of put that behind me. And it's like so crazy how it just, I mean, this isn't a question, but it's kind of just insane how it really like affects you forever. And it also is such, like, my dad didn't go to college. My dad is an immigrant, moved here, and like just started working. And so his whole thing at home was like, I don't know why these schooling systems are making you feel like you have to go to like Ivy Leagues to be accomplished. So I don't know. This is just me rambling, but it's just crazy how like the schooling system and how like your childhood can really impact the way you see yourself and feel about yourself for so long. But being smart in school really has nothing to do with like your future success or yeah. what you're good at. And every student is so different.
It's insane, Sarah. I mean, like, and we don't think about that as often as we should, yeah. right? Like the impact of what our high school experience and our high school education system did to us. But we're not alone in this. Like, I have a bunch of friends that I still talk to that we went to high school that feel the same way. It's not normal what we went through. It's not normal to, you know, have every single person you go to high school with, or I would say, like, I would truly say out of our graduating class, we had maybe one or two kids that didn't go to yeah. college. It just wasn't an option not to go. Failure was not an option. Yeah. As a teenager, for me, I was going through a lot in my personal life that also led me to becoming a therapist, but to be going through what I was going through with my family. I was dealing with a lot of really intense mental health things on top of being in this environment, it was insane. It was truly insane. Mm-hmm. That's what I can say. Yeah.
Yeah. Just for some context, like people from our town, trigger warning, suicide, but like people took their own lives when they got like B's in school. Like that was our high school. And it was really sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I grew up in a similar, like my high school was, my graduating class was 100 kids and they, you had to get into the middle school. It was a public school, but it was a magnet school. So they cut the eighth grade class in half. Like you had to reapply because, you know, it's a public school. They didn't have enough funding. And I now realize that I don't have any sense of accomplishment when I accomplish things because it was just, that's how it's supposed to be. Like that's how it's quote unquote supposed to be. And I know this is, no, it's like literally sometimes my friends are like I, like I'll have something good happen to me or I'll get into a program or like get a promotion or get a good job. I'm like, I didn't feel anything when I graduated college, like not to be so like cynical, but I really was like, I was supposed to do this. I don't get what the big like deal is. No.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And I think that, so I had, I'm skipping up to a question that you guys wrote.
Yeah.
So
please do.
So basically, I went through the same thing, Liz, recently. Like, I still have difficulty taking compliments when people are like, oh my God, like, you're doing this, and
right.
this. For a long time, I saw my life as having to play catch up. Because in high school, my parents went through a pretty intense divorce. And again, we did not come from an area where people got divorced. It was a pretty, you know, that just a lot of people's parents weren't divorced. I didn't know anyone whose parents were divorced. So for me, It was a lot. I had to go back and forth to houses. I really started to self-medicate with drinking. I had to go away to an inpatient facility for a while because of eating issues. I had a lot going on. Because of all that going on, school, I just didn't do school. Like I literally would just like copy people's homework and just not do school. So I always felt that once I was diagnosed, I was like, now it's my chance to catch up. It's my chance to have those moments and make my parents proud. It's my chance to just kind of do everything that I should have done during, or that I thought I should have done during that time that I was just being a normal girl dealing with a lot of really crazy shit. So my life went on hyperspeed, as you guys see, like literally graduation, master's degree, fiance, blah, 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 all this shit. And I think that I, for a long time, just thought that was normal. I'm like, you know what? I had to play catch up. And it's not normal. Like, it's not normal to one, force all of this to happen in this short period of time, and two, not take time to reflect on the fact that like you did that and good for you. So I really empathize with you, Liz, when you're saying like, I still to this day have to take time to be like, yeah, like you really accomplished that. Like you go girl. Instead of being like, people do that. Yeah. People buy a house, people get married, people do companies. Like, no, people don't do that.
And especially when you have, I feel like when you have mental health issues at whatever stage you are in life, like you have to take a pause from quote unquote normalcy. Like if you, like you had to take a pause from school, and the worst part about it is like, you have to go back to, it's not like when you take a mental health pause, like the space in your life that you would be doing if you didn't have to take a pause, like also takes a pause. And that's one of the hardest things I think about nowadays. Like Sarah and I just spoke about mental health days, and like the problem with taking a mental health day from work is then you come back and you have double the day. So I get anxious because I'm like, you know, how do I manage that? So I think, you know, it's good that you're at least understanding like where you are and like kind of why your life shaped out this way, but definitely important to reflect on like congratulating yourself, you know?
Yeah. Every day. Like, honestly, like I have started to incorporate, like every morning I do like a reflection, at least 5 minutes. And I like, it sounds kind of like I talk to myself and I congratulate myself. I'm like, you know what? Like you made your bed today and you're going to do this today and you're going to try and not cry today. Like little things like that I have to do, because especially now that I'm working with other people and other people's emotions, I need to make sure that I check in with myself at least once a day and realize and figure out what's going on with me. Because if I don't do that, then I can't be the best version of myself for my clients, for Sean, for my family, for my friends. So I do get what you're saying, Liz, where it's like, especially when I was, thank God I'm working in the mental health field now, like it's very normal to take mental health day. You know, you're like, I have to go cry in the car.
Yeah, that's like still me.
When I was working in Manhattan, that anxiety surrounding in besides the fast-paced environment, the anxiety of needing to just like breathe and you can't breathe is a whole other ball game. And I know exactly what you're talking about. It's insane. It's insane. And I truly feel like almost everyone probably feels that way, but no one does anything about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like normal to feel like you're suffocating.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Also, you know, it makes me think about like schooling system in general and how there's no room for like not being okay or like things going on at home. I feel like I remember, you know, you spoke to people in our neighborhood didn't really get divorced. I had heard of people getting divorced, but it was always like hush hush. Mm-hmm. And there were always just things that people didn't speak about. And maybe that's because we grew up in a time where mental health wasn't really discussed much. But I hope, my hope for the schooling system is that they start to not only like allow children to grow academically, but also grow mentally and like help hold space for our emotions. And I don't know. I feel like going to the guidance counselor was kind of like weird. It was like, why are you going to the guidance counselor? But like, we should all have weekly appointments at the guidance counselor.
Everyone needs to go to the guidance counselor. Everyone needs to go to the guidance counselor. And this generation, you guys, one thing that I learned from working with the adolescents in my last internship, they're completely different than us. They're completely different than us. They grew up completely different than us. Their anxiety levels, their depression levels are skyrocketing for a reason. Like we weren't able to go on Snapchat, or maybe we were in high school, I don't know, but we were not aware of when things, we were excluded from things. We weren't really, the bullying was not at the level that I think it is now. So kids, they need more than the guidance counselor. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not in school social work. I have a couple of girlfriends who are, that I do talk about this topic with sometimes, but these kids, between social media, going through school during a pandemic, living through all this insanity as an adolescent, everyone needs
therapy. Right. The stigma around the guidance counselor was just the early stigma of going to therapy when you're an adult.
Yep, that's
it. Started as a child. So, okay, I was just looking up the questions because either I want to like hit all the things because you have so much going on and there's so many like amazing parts of, you know, where you are now. So I was just looking up the questions because I don't want to miss anything. So sorry if I was like looking distracted.
I'm sorry because I'm like, I'm asking and answering my questions.
It's so helpful. Like if you want to just talk because you remember the questions, please do. Like it's so helpful.
It's very helpful.
So I have two things that I wanted to touch on. First is, this is kind of random, but it was something I was thinking about at the beginning. How do you hold space for someone with substance abuse? Like, did you have to learn about substance abuse issues in order to speak to someone? Like, what happens when you don't really know how to respond to them? Are you just like a listening ear, or do they ask you questions? Like, there's so many different topics and you don't always know where you're going to land, right? But now you're in this place where, you're currently helping people with substance abuse, right? Yeah. So how do you know what to say?
That's such a good question, you guys, because I literally just talked to a girl that I graduated with about this. Because so when you go through grad school, you learn about everything. You learn about, you have like two classes on substance abuse, some classes on mood disorders, some classes on suicide, how to screen, all that. You get everything. So you don't really specialize in anything when you're coming out. You just don't. So when I got this job in substance abuse, I was freaking out. And there is something called imposter syndrome, especially with therapists, new therapists. And you're sitting with a client and you have a moment where you're like, this person's like, mental health is in my hands and I have no idea what the hell I'm saying. And that's really scary. And that happens sometimes when you first start out. With substance abuse, I think I enjoyed my classes. I do have... I have family members who have battled substance abuse. So externally, like outside of my job, it's not a foreign concept to me. But when it comes to actually working with someone on a like clinical level, that was a whole different thing. So what I had to do is I read about it separately. I worked with my supervisor on how to, you know, teach and talk about certain things. But what it all comes down to, like the foundation of it, is there is something that went wrong. And there was a need for control. You grasp at something and you grab this. Like, that's what it all comes down to. And I know that every single person, including myself, can relate to that. Like, I know that I can relate to something went on, parents divorced, like horrible, something went on and I needed to grasp something for control, drinking, partying, blah, 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 all this stuff. So in my moments where I don't know what to say, so I work with clients that are, I'm going to say like from 17 to like 60. So there are some adults that I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm already worried that they're like, there's this young girl. She's not going to know what the heck I'm talking about. It's not the case. Like, there are moments where I just rely on the fact that this person feels out of control. What can I do to make them feel safe? Even if I don't know what it feels like to go through that kind of relapse, even if I don't know what it feels like to lose everything because of XYZ, I do know what that, I know what sadness feels like. I know what extreme confusion and panic feels like. I just get into that zone. I remember, and I just, that's where we go with that, especially with the older clients. It's difficult because they're a completely different generation and their mindset is very different. A lot of older people, it's difficult for them to even talk about certain things just because the mental health stigma for them, like, you guys know, like, back in the day, you even went to therapy. It was very normal to, for a lot of these people who were in Manhattan in the 80s and 90s, it was normal to get wasted and do drugs in the bathroom. So now these people are kind of having to come to terms with the fact that, like, oh crap, I really had an addiction. I was not normal doing that at my job. So it's working from all the way back then. And that's kind of our age. So it's good. If that made 100%. Any sense, you guys, that I hope that did. But if therapists don't always have the answers, like, we really don't. Like, there's a lot of moments where I've sat there and I've been like, let me breathe for 3 seconds and then we'll move forward. And it's not being comfortable in that silence. And just faking it until you make it, because that client can't know that you have no idea. You know, like,
that was great.
Yeah, that was great. I feel supported. So I know I'm like literally jumping around to different topics. One topic I wanted to touch on was the fact that you not only have a small owned business, but you have a Black owned business. So how has that been for you? Like, what have the challenges been like for you? And do you see that people are trying to uplift Black owned businesses more? Tell us how that experience has been for you.
Yeah, I think that it's a great time to be a Black owned business. It's a great time to be a minority owned business, because people are starting to realize that these kinds of businesses haven't really been given a chance in the past. So I think that in addition to coming into this great field that I'm working in at the right time, I think that our business was born during the right time. Like, August Dance was born during the perfect time. People now more than ever are giving minority-owned businesses a chance, which I'm so grateful for. It's been nothing but a positive experience for me, to be honest. Everyone has been so welcoming, so gracious. We as a couple have not experienced any negatives towards being a Black owned business right now. If anything, people are like, what can we do? How can we help? How can we support? Which we appreciate so much. So, it's an honor. It's an honor, you know, it's to have, I really think about my grandparents. My father is Puerto Rican. My grandparents were first generation. I think about the fact that, you know, Sean's grandparents, our ancestors would just be very, very proud of us. Like, they'd be like, holy crap, like, we have two really great kids, you know, who just made this happen. And I truly, my motivation, everyone kind of has their internal motivation. My motivation is, I really believe that my parents, my grandparents, everyone sacrificed so much to give me this life. And I try really, really hard to just, like, make them proud and to just let them know that all of their efforts didn't go, you know, to waste. And that's not always the best mindset, but that's kind of my driving force. And I think that they'd be very proud. That's
kind of like emotional.
Very beautiful. From this. And we're so glad that, like, your boyfriend came to your, excuse me, your fiance came to you when he did and was like, let's make candles. Like, who'd have thunk? It's awesome.
Yeah, it's so awesome. It's a beautiful mindset to have, because it's not, a lot of people are driven by money or success or what other people think. And your driving force is just, like, beautiful. And I don't know. I'm really happy to see. Well, we're both really happy to see your success. And again, you're like glowing, and it's just like, I just got emotional because, like, I don't know. That's just like a beautiful thing. So very happy for you
guys. I'm happy for you guys too. I wanted to just like let you guys know also that this, when you came out with this podcast, I think that things like this are very important. Like, podcasts, just like openly talking about like the real deal with mental health, what's going on. I really haven't seen a lot of them out there. I've seen two or three, to be honest. I'm a podcast fiend. Like, I listen to a bunch of them. So you guys are one of my favorites. I listen to you guys all the time. I was so excited to come on here. And I think that people need more of you guys. People need, because you guys are asking questions that everyone has. Like, everyone wants to know about certain things, and people maybe don't have an outlet or a way to ask these kinds of questions. So this podcast is really important, and I think that you guys are doing really great things. So you should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you. That's really, really, really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think we have that rare mix of like not being clinical, but talking about something that a lot of people aren't. So I'm very proud of that. I feel like even though there are so many podcasts, like, we really are the only ones doing this. And we're just glad that there's people like you who actually work in the field who are willing to come on and give us that perspective, because our whole thing is like, we don't know, we're not experts. So very, very grateful for you. Mm-hmm. Come on and kind of tell your story.
Girl,
do you want to plug? I don't know if you want to plug. Well, you definitely plugged August Onset, but tell people where to find August Onset, where to find you, and anything else you want to plug.
My Instagram handle is EMQ827. We can't put our, as therapists, we're like not supposed to put our, like, or at least for me, I'm not supposed to put my full name, but it's EMQ827. If you want to follow me, I'll accept you. It's just pictures of like me and my fiance, but it's nice. And then we do have our August Onset page on there as well. August Onset's Instagram is August, like the month, AUGUST, Onset, Onset. And then also you can get all of your candles. We have candles, we have diffusers, we have a bunch of amazing new products coming out this year. I can't tell all of them, but our website is augustonset.com, and feel free to go over there. It's a beautiful, very zen, nice website. We make everything by hand and with love. So
we love your candles.
We love your candles.
They smell so good. They're not too, like, sometimes I'll get a candle from, like, you know, a bigger store, and they smell like legit. Like, they just, like, they hurt my nose. Your candles, like, smell so good, like, subtle, but lovely. And also the way that they look is very nice.
I've burned through a couple. I have one over there, one over there, one over there. Yeah. And we got, like, for our friend's birthday this year. I love them. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Huge fans over here.
Thank you. That makes me so happy. That makes my heart so happy. Yeah. Thank you.
Love
so
them.
Much.
Seriously, like, genuinely.
Yeah.
Love
great,
them.
Great product.
All right. Well, thank you so, so much for joining us today. This has been lovely.
Lovely.
Keep being amazing. This is very, very important stuff that you guys are doing. Don't downplay it. And I appreciate
thank
you guys
you,
coming
Elena. That's so sweet.
Bye.
Bye.
Talk soon.
So that was Elena. We hope you enjoyed the episode. And as always, we're thinking about all of you and hoping you're all well.
That was so nice of you.
Oh, well, you know, I'm capable of saying nice things every once in a while.
Okay.
You know where to follow us. But as a reminder, it's Fine I'm Fine Pod. Oh, sorry. Woo.
Woo.
It's Fine I'm Fine Pod on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram at Liz Height. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Fine I'm Fine PD. The O didn't fit. You can follow us on TikTok at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod. How about you, Sarah? Where can they follow you?
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone. That's N like Nancy. On TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Clubhouse. Well, no, actually Clubhouse. Oh, this is a good,
great plug.
Speaking of which, tomorrow is Wednesday.
Yep.
And we are doing a Clubhouse at
6:30 p.m.
6:30 p.m. Managing anxiety, mental health check-in. So follow me on Clubhouse at Sarah Sassone. There's no L.
Mm-hmm. And follow me on Clubhouse Liz Height. But you can also go to the link in our bio on Instagram to navigate right toward our Clubhouse room.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's EST, friends.
EST, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. And I also teach yoga on Sundays. And that's in the link in my bio on my Instagram. All right. Well, anyway. Have a good Tuesday.
Have a good Tuesday.
Oh, and with that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.